providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Hey, welcome back. Top of the hour news is over. We're now talking about opining, I guess I should say. Want to be real careful what we say in this environment. We are simply opining on what's going on in America. You know, I just got back from a fairly lengthy, in terms of hours, trip into downtown Seattle where I was undergoing some treatment at my providers. And I have to tell you, I had plans to take the light rail into Seattle by myself, just go in there tonight, maybe have dinner, have a couple of drinks, etc., just kind of, you know, get my feet wet on the streets of Seattle, basically, you know, provide a new environment to move and get a fresh outlook on life. And I have to tell you, I'm not going to do it. And the reason I'm not going to do it is because it's too damn dangerous. Saw it with my own eyes today. Let's go a little bit south. Let's go 175 miles south to Portland, Oregon. My daughter was down there picking up a pooch with her sister, and they stayed in Portland, which was, she said, the biggest mistake I ever made. She said, "Dad, downtown Portland is uninhabitable now." And she said, "You're taking your life in your own hands in Portland, Oregon, if you just go in and visit." Jim, something's got to be done about this. It's getting, and it's almost too late, but something's got to be done. You got any ideas on that?
Well, I think you're right. Something has to be done, but it really comes down to the individuals that live in those communities, whether or not they're going to accept that type of life, or whether or not they're going to stand up and say enough is enough. It usually takes very dramatic problems and a decline significantly before people will take action.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it takes there's a lot of damage, a lot of economic damage, a lot of urban blight that goes on before it starts to turn up. And of course, you know, we saw this in the 60s and the 70s in a lot of the urban areas around the nation. They really declined heavily. Crime was skyrocketing. And it really took until the 80s and the 90s before it started to climb back up.
Yeah.
And then there was a lot of investment in downtown areas. There was a lot of excitement about people moving back into the urban centers. But unfortunately, in these major demographic cities, progressive ideologies, especially after the BLM and Antifa riots in 2020, you're seeing a rapid decline in quality of life and a massive movement of economic drivers out of those urban areas. San Francisco is a perfect example.
Yeah.
Hundreds of major corporations have moved from downtown San Francisco, moving to Texas, moving to other areas around the country. But, you know, they haven't felt, the city has not felt the impact of the lack of revenues from those businesses yet. They will in the next couple of years. And of course, California overall is facing that dilemma, as they're now at a $33 billion, possibly $36 billion deficit after being flush with money just two or three years ago.
Yeah.
And of course, so ultimately what your question here is, it takes political movement within those urban areas to finally say enough is enough. And unfortunately, you just don't see much of that happening because of the organized efforts of progressive vote harvesting and these pushes in these urban areas and these major demographic areas for basically uncontrolled lack of voter ID, uncontrolled elections, and a continuation of decline that will be only stopped when people finally stand up and say that's enough.
And you're suggesting that the only way for that to happen, or for the only way that that could happen today in America, is through a civil war. Is that right?
No, I don't say that's the only way that's going to happen. In fact, that's the worst possible outcome.
Of course it is.
What I think it, the way it can happen is if people actually stand up and get politically involved and change the politics and say, you know what, I'm not going to accept that. I'm not going to reelect Ted Wheeler to downtown Portland, you know, as mayor,
yeah,
who created these problems. You know, I'm not going to, you're starting to see a slight movement away from the progressive ideology in Seattle, but not enough yet because it's still a disaster.
Yeah, it is.
You know, remember what happened with Daryl Dinkins, with the, you know, New York governors for years, was just a disaster. And then they finally got Rudy Giuliani in as mayor of the city. And within two terms, he cleaned it up.
Yeah,
he cleaned it up. So that's what it takes. The problem, again, is the electoral system. And my so one way is, and the best way is the political movement.
Why is the electoral system a problem?
That's the only way it can be fixed without violence.
Okay.
But if there's no voter ID requirements, if it's mail-in ballots, if there's, you know, voting machines that you cannot actually count or audit effectively, which is what happened in Maricopa County,
right,
what is happening in Oregon, in Washington, and in California. If you don't have systems in place, then you can't trust the electoral system, you know, the election system.
Yeah.
If you can't trust the election system, you don't know if you're actually got a population that's fed up or not, because the people that control the system will continue to control it and you'll get a continual decline.
Yeah.
And part of it is incompetence. Leadership in those cities are incompetent. And of course, the other alternative, Al, is the worst case scenario is civil war. But I tell you, there are a lot of people that are so fed up with the system and don't trust it, they either won't participate or eventually they'll break. And that's what I don't want to see happen.
When you see they'll break, you mean psychologically, and they will engage in activities that are really dangerous?
Well, exactly. And this is what happened in 2020 with the George Floyd issues. That was orchestrated by certainly activists and supported by the media,
yeah,
and directly encouraged by Democratic politicians. The same politicians like Ted Wheeler in Portland, like Gavin Newsom, like Nancy Pelosi, like the mayor of Seattle, who actually by either actively asking to defund their police organizations or encouraging violence and riot. Remember the mayor of Seattle calling it the Summer of Love when there was a total, complete anarchy in downtown in the area you're in right now,
right,
in Capitol Hill with the CHOP and the CHAZ.
Yeah.
So they politically, they should have been thrown out, but for some reason in those areas they weren't, and that's why you can't trust the electoral system. So when I say people are going to break, they're going to get violent because they got to protect themselves, they got to protect their lives, or they'll leave, which is what's happening in many, many places, in their room to places.
Yeah,
like
I have to say this. My youngest daughter drove me into my medical provider, and as we were driving into the city, as soon as we got off on the freeway and turned left onto Denny Way, I was actually getting incredibly uncomfortable because of the people on the streets. And I tell you, I'm getting sick and tired of that, because if it's happening on a scale of 1 to 10 in Seattle, it's happening on a scale of 1 to about 2 in San Francisco and L.A. Does not bode well for the United States, Jim.
No, and just real quickly here, because we only got about 20 seconds left.
Yeah.
In many of these urban areas, they've downgraded felonies to misdemeanors. They've taken away responsibility for the cops to be able to arrest people for the small things. And the small things is what creates the problem, because the people that break the laws, they continue to break it if they're not held accountable. And that's what we're seeing right now around the nation.
Stick around, you guys. We're going to be right back with these really optimistic ideas.